gone one up top. We're gone one up top. All the other formations, they surely have to stop. We're gone one up top. We're gone one up top. Jamie and Jordan, the bullshit never stops.
You're listening to the One Up Top podcast, hosted by Jamie and Jordan. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast and all of our social media outlets at One Up Top Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the second episode of One Up Top. My name is Jamie. As it stands, I've got 46 missed phone calls off Dan Lambert, and I've got a very, very strongly worded letter sent to me from the club.
Yeah, folks, we've gone very good in the charts this week, James. Would you like to bring us through our figures while we're being a bit egotistic about it?
Yeah, we got up to number 6 in the charts, a lot more than we expected, to be honest. It was the number 1 sports podcast as well, which is, like, as you can see, we're actually smiling like Cheshire Cats here.
Yeah, and look, Whelan's obviously brought his Fianna Gael voice with him again this week, everyone.
So that's a telephone voice, guys, unfortunately.
Just to give you a bit of perspective here of where we had listens from. Obviously, Ireland, UK, United States, Germany, Australia, Canada, Spain, UAE, McGregor and the boys, France, Netherlands, Belgium, Denmark, Mexico, Sweden, Zambia. I think Ian Baker left a few sprogs behind on his holiday a few years ago. Argentina, Duncan obviously sent. Estonia, Italy, Oman. Pat's fan out in Oman gave a list. Fair play to you, I don't know. Romania and Ukraine. I don't know where these fiends are listening or why they want to listen to us two Egypts, but fair play. Just get in contact. We want to know who you are.
It's gone down so well, and look, Even the Bowes legal team can't find us, as we're actually recording this in a bunker underneath Berlin at the moment. So, but anyways, we've got two lads in the studio with us today. One is yourself, Johnny. How are you doing?
Not too bad, Jamie. Thanks for having me on.
I'm Bradzer.
How's it going, Jamie?
Two lads well known at Bowes. And just so you know, we are on the gargle again once again. And we'd like to thank our new partner, Grand Cru Beers. They're a beer supplier. Big shout out to Bodge. We're all on the gargle here again. We're on the Lennon. What are you on? The Duvel, is it?
Duvel, yeah. Strong beer.
Felton's love.
Felton's love for the boys. And we've got the LCR Nevada Torpedo because I'm the wanker here. So we also want to thank Vault Fashion, who are going to team up with us as well, that they're going to supply some equipment and kit us out a bit more than what we have at the moment. But we've got a good show ahead of us here, guys, as well. So we'll kick things off as well with just a run of the results. And I suppose St. Pat's getting a win again, lads. We wish we were them right now, don't we?
So if we could see young fellas there come on show,
they seem to have got a good...
I don't know anybody who wants to be a Pat supporter.
Well, that's fairly standard though, isn't it, as well? And but well, you know, I thought Harps might sustain a bit more of a challenge this year. I probably got that wrong. Also Dundalk got a win, much needed win. I think the little Korean boy scored a goal, as Ollie Hogan called him.
Yeah, a lot of conflict with Dundalk at the moment. There's a lot of shit going on in Dundalk. There's a lot of
shady characters in the background.
Very
to say,
fucking
yeah.
Shady characters, you know.
Because if there was enough bad US investment companies in the Big Six, maybe they might take Dundalk with them.
Yeah.
And Waterford, they got a 1-0 win as well. Probably much needed for them. And obviously Derry as well got a 1-0 win, which is also kind of essential for them. But we've our own results there during the week. We played against Sligo on Tuesday. Probably one of the more entertaining games we watched for quite some time.
Good, yeah. John Kenny
got a pretty good goal. Yeah. Three bad goals to concede, though,
yeah,
wasn't it?
It was Benny Hill stuff at times at the back. Yeah, but I think going forward looked very promising. I tell you what, I watched games in lockdown with my granddad last season. I think it was winning was a bit easier. Like normally, even when we were winning, everyone knows the emotion isn't there. But bleeding Jesus, when Keith Ward missed that chance, my granddad still hasn't looked at me the same the way I reacted. There's more language used anywhere than I've used in front of a man before. He's still disgusted with me.
Exactly. I think we kind of got it right as well by saying it was going to be a very good game of football. And then we kind of got the changes right as well last week. If you were listening, Kieran Kelly came in, Livingston came in. And good to see those players get game time, because it looks like we might need some of them now coming in the next few games.
I think our defence is a bit of a worry now, especially against Sligo. I thought it was, I thought they were to defend him with shite, to be perfectly honest with you. Now, I'm not going to be around the fucking
bush.
I'll be honest with you.
I think the defender can be coached. My worry at the moment is forward. We've got George Kelly, who I think has done well the last couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. But Alua didn't come on. Promise came on ahead of him. Ralt wasn't on the bench for either.
Probably speaks volumes, doesn't it?
I'm not sure if these are really write-offs already, but I think we're going to go back in for a striker during the summer, no matter what happens. Mm-hmm. I can see Ralt being sent on. I don't know about Lua, he could still come good. I'm not gonna write him off. We haven't seen enough of him, but
I think the lads were right last week when they said that, you know, we're gonna be relying on a lot of the same forward players each week. The likes of Burt, he's gonna play every week, Kelly's gonna play every week, and obviously waiting for Mallon and Heary to get back from injury.
Port's done well. He took a scowl well against Sligo. He should have scored against Rovers.
It was a fantastic goal. Probably one of the better finishes we've seen in Derry for quite some time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Certainly a good goal to watch. Just while we're on results as well, we did forget to mention the ladies' team last week, and we do apologise for that, but they were beaten last week and they were beaten again this week by Paymount United. And look, was there any other results in Ireland during the week?
No, I think they were an international break, the first division.
Never
if you
heard
want to hear more, as I said, go over to Between the Stripes, Kieran and the lads go to extensively, betweenthestripes.net or Spotify, iTunes, you catch them all on that. Ask them, how just get into balls?
We started going about 82 to the home matches, my mass on Facebook, so I used to be going to my grannies in Connacht Street on a Sunday and see the matches on, the gates open, however I go in.
Yeah.
Did you pay?
No. I was at one of the Cup semi-finals against Dundalk. I think it was three matches that year. We beat them in Talga. And I was at the Cup final against Limerick, which we lost.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, I was in the reserve terrace for the last round.
And Johnny, you look like you're going bald since the 1920s.
Yeah, fucking old time. Yeah, I start going. I think my first match was actually 1979. That's how fucking, I'm showing me fucking age here, you know. my uncle used to go home and away all the balls everywhere. He's getting on a bit now. He doesn't go to all the matches, but like my uncle brought me for years when I was younger, you know. And once I could set foot in Daily Mount, I don't know, I just done something that's, I don't know, I'm still fucking going out all these years later, so.
Addicted to it still,
addicted to an addiction now.
Mm-hmm. And you're probably two of you are known as, not Lennon and Bradshaw, but OMC and TGO, give everyone a rundown of this.
The OMC.
Now, John, where did this come from?
Jeez, this is a bit embarrassing now. For fuck's sake. Basically, a couple of years ago, I just said, like, I was in a pub drunk one night, I said, I am the OMC, I'm the international man of class. And and the name just stuck, like, and that's what I'm known as now. Like, I just actually said it one night drunk in a pub. And I am the OMC, the international man of class, and just the name stuck, so that's where mine comes from anyway, you know.
TGO, do you see a fellow went to the matches, Darren Salmon from Cabaret, and he called himself the great one. His story was that he was on holiday and someone said Darren means the great one in Greek. So we took it on.
Oh, brilliant.
He met some fella called Stan Ross and Holly.
Was he oiling topping down the base, was he?
So that was the end of it. He hasn't just gone anymore now.
And you two guys as well, you'd be nearly well known for kind of creating a subculture of Bohemian FC, two absolute stalwarts of the fashion scene and we won't get into the rest of it now, but two well known men, not just in Dublin but also in Glasgow as well.
We've a lot of friends in Glasgow, yeah, we're going off there. Going out Glasgow now since fucking.
Yeah, we used to go over the shops. We go to football and then go to Cruiser.
Yeah.
You used to
go on the boat over. Didn't Rovers try to throw you off the boat one line?
it was the night party cunts basically there. It was me and Bradshaw there, and it was a load of them cunts, and they were threatening the fucking falls over. We actually thought would have done it, but
we went to Glasgow via Lairn.
Shitting ourselves.
The Friday after Falls Rovers and Claire's are saying a cup for him in 1993.
Oh, God.
Where there was a bit of trouble on the pitch. So we're on the ferry and looked around, and there's about 50.
Nice party, yeah.
Going over when I was.
Same lads from the fight the night before, was it?
They were, 2 days before, yeah. Mm. So how's that? Well, I walked yourself out.
And they were always known for being a bit of a bully boys back then.
Yeah.
So, whilst we're speaking of Rovers, may as well kind of dive into that on Friday. It was probably one of the harder games to take in quite some time, wasn't it?
It was a sick one.
Good for the draw, at least, yeah.
At least, yeah. I mean, we both had chances. One of the more open balls Rovers games for quite some time. Usually, one team gets a goal early on, they sit back, and that's it. This game was full of chances. It was actually a cracking game.
Great advertising for League of Ireland.
Most Premier League games you've seen behind closed doors.
Two of them went for it.
Proper. You could see the intensity didn't drop.
With 10 men, balls pushed forward and kept
the ball. Yeah.
It was a shocking sending off. I have to say that now. And it was a fucking terrible sending off. It was a dubious penalty as well.
Yeah, it was shocking.
We've gotten the bad decisions down there. I know a couple of years ago, they got two red cards and a penalty or whatever. But like last season, Danny Grant, I think, should have had a penalty. And that game would have been 1-0. A couple of years before that, Danny Grant had a Stonewall as well. Neil Doyle's refereeing, obviously, is a fucking Rovers, former Rovers, held the fucking season
together. Yeah. I think Paul McLaughlin was the ref on Friday. It was inept and incompetent refereeing.
Double jeopardy rule as well. I called that straight away.
He was terrible. I think going forward, he should throw his whistle in the bin and shove his cards up his fucking arse because he's no idea what he's doing with them.
It was
possibly one of the worst refereeing decisions I've seen in a fixture of that magnitude also, and it really did ruin the game. And you know what you see it too often, especially over in England, where the ref makes the game about him and not about the 22 players on the pitch, and that's a prime example of what happened there on Friday night.
Obviously the goal went in after 5 minutes. I think me and you were beside each other, Jay, this is going to be a fair play, the lads responded excellently. I think Bucko will obviously be disappointed. Ball went under, but he was excellent all game. Ross Taney had Chris McCann in his pocket. Yeah. He got zipped off at half time because Taney ran the show.
Ross Taney plays in this role where he's basically a Tasmanian devil playing for Bowers now at the moment. He's behind the striker, he's in midfield, he's absolutely everywhere. He's an absolute talent. I think the last couple of games we've really seen just what Ross Taney's about. And is there a player that he reminds you of, lads? Is there someone that had that intensity and that fire in his belly just to, every time the ball is free, to close it down, to break out the play? And
Tierney's a class act. I Liam Burt, apart from that, that was a shocker miss against Rovers. It was a shocking miss, but he's impressed me the most this season.
He's come into a lot off.
I think he's been very good. His movement on the ball is really good. Like,
really good footwork. And during the week, I seen a tweet by Stephen Doyle who said he summed it up quite well.
Yeah.
Burt uses his centre of gravity and just his footwork because he doesn't have the physicality. You know, he's using whatever strengths he has to shield the ball because he's so small. You know, he'll get a foul very easily. You know, he's very, very clever, I think, with the ball. And as you said, he's been out in the game for quite some time and he's really coming into the fray now. And
he's on the books of Celtic and Rangers, which is a bit of a
no fear from all the Rovers.
But there was also, I also thought our goal as well, the build up for that, it started with Wilson.
Yeah.
Bit of intricate play with
Wilson's.
It was Wilson, Burt. Kelly gets the ball, brings it down, and crossfield ball to Wardy. And Wardy's touch is excellent. Another little bit of play, and then Coote does the little back heel. Burt did the back heel to Coote, and then he crossed it in. Yeah,
He missed it in back post. Smallest man of the pitch gets his head in it.
It was a fantastic work goal, but just what were on the misses? What was worse, that fucking arsehole Aaron Green's miss or Liam Burt's miss? They were both fairly stinking, aren't they?
Burt could have stopped the ball, sat in it and done it to where it came up and still had time to put it away. Look, you don't know who's behind you, I suppose, if you didn't take that glance. When Green ran in, I think we all thought he was going to score. No, he's not a goal scorer as such. He works the bollocks out of centre-halves. Defenders did get wrong side. I think Andy Lyons looked a lot, dragged more into Cornwall maybe to give him that backup. He seemed to be more in close to Cornwall, but they got behind Finity more so than that and else. And Trinity was caught out, I think, by Green. He was caught out by Madger. It was never a penalty, obviously, but he still got wrong side, man. I don't think him falling helped either.
I think Rovers' match now, even despite the fucking results, I think you still have to take a lot of positives because the way Bowes played, you have to take some positives away. You know, usually now it's a fucking signal now to lose, obviously, against them cunts. No. But, you know, you have to take positives from it. We did play well. We didn't get the referee made a fucking shocking decision. I thought we were nailed on for the draw. We should have been got the fucking draw there.
I think as well, we went into that week probably brimming with positivity as well, with the, you know, thinking we should get something from Sligo, get something from Rovers off the back of two defeats. But you know what? We're going into, you know, next week and we're not as down as we probably should be, you know, after two defeats. There's a lot to be positive about. I think one player as well, a lot of people have been critical about him, but I thought Georgie Kelly was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, I thought he was excellent,
He should have had a penalty as well, shouldn't he?
Yeah. What's the make of him, Brazil, so far this season?
He's done all right, he's, a lot of Pats fans didn't like him, didn't rate him, but he's holding up the ball now. He's on his own up front, one on top.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
Yeah. We're hoping someone asks what the podcast is named after.
Surely he come good and start scoring goals on a regular basis now. I think
he's got two already. I think he only got three for Pats last year as well. But I mean, he was playing the Dower Pats team. I think, you know, obviously.
The Hollywood ball, he got out for the goal. He basically sliced the outside of his foot, the cross out. Unbelievable.
He was brilliant. I thought his hold of play was brilliant. And he should have had a peno as well. Some notes after the game where the referee was speaking to Keith Long and said, look, I gave him the advantage. What advantage did he get? He had a slide tackle up his arse and fucking, he was taken off balance. He couldn't get a proper shot away. The ball goes in. That's the advantage. That should have been brought back for a penalty. And it was, as I said, Paul McLaughlin.
robbed us.
Absolutely robbed us. A terrible referee.
Terrible, yeah.
By all standards.
You gave any little tip. I said it throughout the game. He's giving frees for everything. You might as well go down for anything you can.
I reckon Neil Doyle, a Rovers season ticket holder.
He's the best ref in the league to me.
Probably is, but I don't think he would have given that penalty.
No.
I don't think Neil Doyle, with all of his bias, he would not give him that penalty. And that's kind of... We're coming out at the back of this.
Well, now it's a bit of a misery show here at the moment, results. But yeah, we're looking up and we're looking forward. So look, we'll leave that behind us now at the moment. The Rovers game is over, so we can only look forward. But look, the two lads are here. Bradshaw was referred to us as he was told. He's a walking USB stick from memory. Rocco was on last week and said he knows more
than happened down the earth than anyone else. Yeah. Plenty of alibis for all those murders.
Could you tell us about
Mr. O'Reilly is innocent.
Could you tell us about your trip to Aberdeen in 2001?
2000, yeah.
What, 2000, sorry, yeah.
Aberdeen, yes, yeah. I ended up in Aberdeen Royal Infirmary.
I thought you said the Royal Navy.
Yeah, Aberdeen was great, apparently. It was a huge match for Bowles at the time. We were going well. We felt we could win going into the match, going over there. So everybody was going. Most people was their first European away trip. And it was easy to get there, it was cheap enough to get there. So everybody's looking forward to it. We had plenty of time to book and all that. So we're all nearly on the one flight running early into Prestwick. So we met up early that side of the flight was on a Wednesday morning or something. I think it was the match was on Wednesday, we went over on a Tuesday. Mm. We met up in Keaton's and Star Street, early doors. Bad move. basically got hammered. Serious amount of drink that day, out to the airport bar then, you know, got carried away, you know, more drink on the fly, get over to Prestwick, train up to Glasgow. It's only a 40 minute train journey, but bag of cans again, into Glasgow then, you have to get the train at Queen Street up to Aberdeen, so it's a 3 hour train journey,
yeah.
So we'd wait on the train, so into a pub in Dundas Street across from Queen Street Station, a few more drinks. So we got on the train to Aberdeen, everybody's hammered from Queen Street, so we got to Aberdeen and Strathclyde police were waiting on us in the train station. So
TGO on the card holding
with the wanted posters out, wanted dead or alive.
Yeah, more or less, yeah. So the guy was a warning that the Aberdeen boys would be
knocking
about, they knew we were coming and all that.
Any post on basically
they're after,
wasn't it?
Yeah, well they were trying to be sensible. Nobody goes to Aberdeen.
Yeah.
And then Bowles were basically the only team that actually went there.
Tried to take over the town.
Yeah. You know. So we were all staying in the travel lodge in Union Street, which is near the train station. So the cops gave us a warning, be careful and all that, that they've heard you and all that. So we
basically, so you were smiling like a Cheshire cat at that stage. At the
time,
big grins in your face, oh, they've heard of us.
Yeah, at the time we thought you were great. Well, famous basically. And we're hammered, so yeah. So he dropped the bags off in the travel lodge, and there was an Escobar, it was called, across the way from the travel lodge. And vodkas were 50 pence with student night. So naturally, 50 pence vodkas. Fucking hammered.
Probably only 60 pence now, in fairness, up
there. Yeah. So there was all Bowles flags out the window of the travel lodge and all that. And we got seriously tied up. Me and the Nap decided to go walking around the town to chant the initials and walk up Union Street, put ourselves about, you know.
You and your street, some name, all the same.
Fucking tick hunts that we are. We ended up falling and had to get held back up in the Nap and taxi back to the hotel, I think. So I went back to the hotel, went straight to bed. I knew it hurt my arm, but I hadn't. Didn't really feel it at the time. So I went to bed. Don't know what time in the morning, about 2 o'clock in the morning, probably. Could have been me earlier. The fire alarm went off in the hotel. And it was all panic. Everybody was trying to get out. So I couldn't move. So I went to get up and I couldn't move. And basically everybody's out of the hotel. So eventually the lads lifted me out and went down to the reception. Had to get help down, basically. And Neil Mulvey was on the committee now, looked at me and went, "Your arm's broken." Yeah, so it is. So the hotel staff basically thought he was going to put in a claim or something, you know. So we was bollocks, didn't know what day of the week it was. Mm. My arm was broken and I can't really feel anything.
Was that a drink?
Yeah, serious amount of drink. So we rang an ambulance. The ambulance came, seeing my arm, and fucking hell. So So all the Bones fans are out in the street and all fucking singing songs and all the party atmosphere. And no sign of Aberdeen at that stage. So I didn't even see an Aberdeen fan. And I ended up in hospital. So at the time...
Did the match?
Yeah, yeah.
That was
Bowles' biggest game.
Biggest result over two legs in history.
So we'd missed Ibrox and I'd missed Tannadice and all that because I was very young. So this was fucking really, to miss that was fucking poxy. So you had a few months when the draw was made to get there.
Get all your plans together. Yeah. Sorted,
so at the time I remember as well, Aberdeen police sent word over you to send back your name and address and all that nonsense. Everybody was wearing fucking Bobby Sands or whatever on the...
It was really like... Joe Bloggs, John Smith.
200 fucking Bobby Sands is going into the bowl game that night. But, with our records. But, yeah, I ended up in the Aberdeen Royal Infirmary. And, yeah, I was bollocks. And I needed the operation straight away. Because I had so much drink inside me, they couldn't operate me. And they were... They were doing tests on me and all that and looking at me going, are you normal? The drink you have in here, like, and so I had to wait till the next day, the day of the match, to get the operation. My brother, the nap, came out to visit me, but he couldn't because I had the operation. It was the next day, actually.
Yeah.
So, but that night, it was in the bed in the Aberdeen Royal Infirmary. Very hard to understand people from Aberdeen. They talk funny. And, so I couldn't understand them, I couldn't understand them, sweet baby. So... So I'm in the bed with my right arm.
I know if you can see this.
I'm trying to straighten it out. Serious painkillers. I was talking to the nurse and the staff and all the royal sound. And so one of them was an Aberdeen fan. So he left there to go to them. One of the nurses there said that I wonder if it was a fella actually rang his dad at home to give you a score. So all he wanted was a score.
Yeah.
So... The only score he gave me was this 1-0 to Aberdeen, Robbie Winters. So Robbie Winters scored the 83rd minute, which we didn't know. We had no phone on me or anything at the time, you know.
It was all telegram and all.
You got
results by fax back then.
Yeah. Teletext. Yeah, basically put credit on your phone back then. So if you used your phone somewhere on you, your credit was gone, so you couldn't even receive calls, so you didn't bother bringing them. Well, that was a weird excuse. So, so we're in Aberdeen Hospital. No phone. So they just told me Aberdeen 1-1-0, basically Robbie Winters. That's all. I went to bed that night thinking, not too bad. We could beat them in Dublin. And please God, I'll get to the match. Obviously, no chance. But, so the next morning, I'm in bed, my arm still like this. Fucking. So one of the nurses was going, boy, this is to get you up early or whatever. So it was about 8 o'clock in the morning. By the time we found out that we won. See, I was a good result for you last night. 1-0, yeah, it's not too bad. No, it was 2-1. So I'm there, yeah, I'm the bollocks. 2-1. So, I didn't believe it. I thought you were winding up because you were all Aberdeen fans and stuff. So after a while, someone came around with the papers. And obviously, I had loads of money on me, so I fucking bought every paper. And, sorry? But at the time, Jesus Christ, couldn't believe it. Spent my day just reading the match reports. And then the lads came in that day to visit and showed me bruises from telling me about the incidents with the ASC and that. You know? Yeah. And so John. Basically, I was told I was in the best place because I don't know, probably would have got a worse thing.
And John, you have a bit of a European story. How did you get to Salzburg?
Salzburg? Jeez. I was going to talk about Ghent, actually. You know?
No, how did you get to Salzburg? How did you flip
it? It was just after your child was born, I heard, wasn't it?
Oh, God, yeah. Basically, I was living in Leeds at the time, and the ex-board was up to Duff, basically. Now, she wasn't up to Duff at all, actually. She
pretended she was up to Duff.
No, sorry. She'd only... The young fella was only a month old. Mm. And, I said, fuck it, how am I going to... The draw came in and I said, how am I going to fucking swing this? Now, there's no way I can just suddenly fucking decide to fuck off to Salzburg and the young fleet, you know, it's only a couple of weeks old. So I got on to my mate Derek. I said, fucking Derek, pretend that you won a trip to Salzburg, all expenses paid, you know? And I said... And I says, right, this is what you do, right? You ring me at, I know for a fact, ring me about 6 o'clock. I'll be in the room and she'll be there and all, you know. So grand, I had it all worked out in advance. So I was living late at the time. The phone rang. So, Jesus, I spoke blow and I said, Jesus, Derek, how are you doing? Good to hear you. That's amazing news, that is. That's brilliant. Yeah. And she was sort of looking at me like, she was looking over like, I said, that's fantastic news, Derek. Jesus, I can't thank you enough. Don't be denied. I'd love to go, you know. So listen, I'll call you back later on, Derek. Right? And she said, what's all that about? You never guess what. You made the rounds after winning an all-expenses-paid trip to Austria and Salzburg. You know? And she said, Salzburg, Austria, what's all that about? Oh, there's a football match on, you know. He won a competition, all these flights, including flights, hotels, spending money, the whole lot. And it's for two people he wants me to go. She said, oh, that's great. When is it? I said, that's next week, you know. You're not going here, so I have to go.
And how did you get home from that trip?
Oh, stop. So I was more than she blanked me for a while. I said, jeez, you can't look a gift horse in the mouth like this, you know. So I went out.
Well, funny, well, you paid for this yourself.
Oh, of course I have. Yeah, she was wondering where the fucking money, like, I took a couple of £100 out. Like, where's the rent money for this? So we fucking, madness.
Oh, yeah,
I missed the flight on the way back as well. Oh, so fucking madness over there. Complete utter madness. I had to fucking get a flight. I had to get to Munich and fly from Munich to look Gatwick and then a train up the Leeds. So I don't think she spoke to you for about a month after, you know.
Was it worth it?
Yeah, completely worth it, you know.
Voyager for the next Bowles European trip then, yeah?
What's that?
You did a voyage that... That for anyone,
I don't know. Well, yeah, I don't know if that'll work now all the time. But,
you
know,
I think you rang in sick in Aberdeen, did you?
Yeah.
You rang your job in Aberdeen to say you were
in. That's true, right, yeah. Rang in sick in Aberdeen. I didn't hold on to that job for too long.
Can't you get to work tomorrow?
Aberdeen was fucking mad. Like, after initially, obviously, what happened, the Brads are there, but like that day, me and Butsy missed our flight actually. We'd been out the night before. We were waiting. We had to wait hours in Dublin Airport. We got tanked up. We got a later flight then. And so anyway, fast forward, we arrived basically late that night and we checked into the hotel, had a few drinks. So the next day, we were in that Esco bar and little did we know, that was Aberdeen's main pub, the ASE. So there was about, this is the build up, was that afternoon, like 50 pence vodkas and bottles of Beck's, buy one, get one free. So it was £2 with a bottle of Beck's, you bought one, get one free. So everyone's getting stuck into the Beck's, we are fucking hammered. And there must have been about 50 Bowles lads there, you know. And next minute, a few Aberdeen lads come in. I said, what, your fucking face is dropped. What's going on here? So who are you? I said, we're Bowles, you know. Who the fuck are you? You know, we're Aberdeen. This is our pub. I said, yeah, whatever. Yeah, fuck off, like, you know. So their faces, you can see them fucking there. Why, there's more lads going to come me down now. I said, yeah, whatever, yeah. So it was coming up the kickoff anyway. So a lot of us made our way to Pittodrie. We stopped off in a pub up near Pittodrie. You know, but we made our way to the ground anyway, and the match was just fucking unbelievable. It was one of the best ever results for Bowles. Like, Shawnee Marr, they went 1-0 up, and then I think Shawnee Marr scored for us, and then Trevor Malloy got the winner. We scored twice in the space of 10 minutes.
The last 10 minutes or something,
yeah, I think Trevor Malloy scored that penalty with the 90th minute or something like that. Yeah. So the fucking, it was about 800 Bowles fans, the atmosphere, I'll never forget, it was just unbelievable, like, you know. Just fucking, everyone singing, you're supposed to be home. Their fucking faces were white with shock. They fucking didn't know what to do. So this is, we all left it. We were in fucking high spirits. We were loving it. Walking back, it was a bit of a walk towards Aberdeen City Centre. We didn't really know where we were going, just following the crowd. So some Aberdeen fans said, if I was you lads, I'd get out of here fucking sharpest. You know, them lads are out for your blood. We're there, what the fuck, like, so there's a lot of Aberdeen now coming out, they're looking to fucking kill you, you know, and, like, there was about 200 of them, that's no fucking word of a lie, like, they're a fucking serious fucking mob, you know, so we were walking back, and you can hear them in the background, so, here, this is fucking getting, there's only about fucking 30 of us, like, there was literally about 200 of them, no joke, like, walking back, and this is fucking mad, Some winos there, son, he's looking for money. I'm not feeling well. I think I'm having a seizure. I'm looking like that. What the fuck is going on here? Wait, Jesus, get me out of here. What the hell is going on here? You know, so we can hear that, you know, Aberdeen shouting. And we eventually made it back to the travel. I think it was the travel lodge, was it? We were staying in.
It's a travel lodge, yeah. Nearly everybody was staying there. Yeah,
yeah, opposite that Esco area. So we get in there as quick as we could. And like the hotel reception, they fucking they shut all the doors. Aberdeen, like, we were up to our rooms and they were actually trying to fucking smash the door down, thinking that was, we were fucking shitting, there was hordes of them outside. And it took forever. Like, the reception, they call it, the local cops, but it seemed to take forever for the cops to come to disperse them. Now, there was only a handful of us, like, there was 30 of us, but it was fucking, seemed to be about 150, 200
of them. Hordes of angry Scottish men.
Yeah, they were mad, they were, because we took the piss earlier that day in Escobar, and then we just beat them on the fucking pitch. We weren't expected to win at all, so it was just like, and that night, we were after everything had calmed down, we all went to the strip club. It'd be the fucking great night, you know.
And lads, Ross, that's just goes to show as well. Everyone looking forward to the Open. It's not all squares and fountains.
Well, what would you rather do? Miss Europe due to COVID, or miss Europe because you broke your fucking arm?
Well, it was half over 9 months, aren't it?
She's that's all right, fully paid.
9 months?
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, I knew what 6 weeks of, you know.
And what about the rest of your tales, Lennon? You've got plenty more to say here.
Well, I suppose, bring us to, we've always had the good times. What was it like the late 90s before Roddy came in? Would you explain?
Yeah, balls were brutal. tough times, yeah. Who do we got then? John McGrath,
yeah.
Yeah.
Three New Zealanders.
Yeah, yeah. We were made terrible, basically, right in at the races. Yeah.
From 1992, we won the FAI Cup in 1992. That was a fucking great time. But I don't recall us actually winning anything after that up until...
Well, that's because it was the 90s, John. You don't recall anything.
Well, you make a valid point there. But, we used to, like, you know, once we start getting into Europe, the Euro ways were just brilliant. I mean, we travel, you support Vowels the length and breadth of Ireland. You know, fucking going to Longford on a grim Tuesday. Now, I wonder if they... I must say now, all these... It's great to see all new fans coming on board, but will they go to Longford on a fucking grim Tuesday night in the Leinster Senior Cup?
Well, John, I think they go anywhere at this stage, since we've been fucking stuck in our gaffs for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Well, John, I said there's a great quote from you a couple of years ago, and it's always been knocked about. Daily Mail is a mecca. It's a culture melting pot.
Yeah.
Full of casuals, ultras.
Ultras, hipsters, punk skins, mods, ravers, it's the most diverse, and it actually is, it's the most diverse place in Ireland.
And if you get one of them groups, what would you get rid of?
Hipsters. No, 2 ways about it.
Look, I'm the only one here drinking fucking Torpedo IPA, so let the fuck me out of the office here, will you? Well, what about, you said you've got a couple of stories from Ghent.
Yeah, do you know what, I'll touch on Norway first, Trondheim, Rosenborg. When we played Rosenborg in the fucking Champions League, you know. Now, we got thrashed, but, like, that trip was fucking madness, that was, you know. Basically, we were on a charter flight with the players into Trondheim. You know, we didn't know what to expect. Like, Trondheim, it's like a big town. Like, you know,
it's up the north of...
Yeah. North of Norway, but it was sunny. It was actually warm enough.
It's a small town for such a big club.
Yeah, that's exactly, like, yeah.
Just everybody's blonde. All the women are gorgeous.
It's expensive for drinks.
Super expensive.
Stop describing me there, will you?
Did they
talk to the
IMC?
Oh, jeez, yeah. We had a great time. But we checked into the hotel, so, you know, we knew it was expensive. We didn't realise how expensive. We went, found an Irish bar, and...
We'd run to the Irish bar to get... We'd bring in, so we'd get everybody to drink here, if you lower the prices. So we were getting drinks for a few quid cheaper than...
Kroners, Norwegian kroners, yeah.
So I don't know how they made business when we went there. We're the only ones in the place.
The local guard was fucking pissed off. It was horrible. But we ended up drinking, I think, Corona. But a few of the lads were the most expensive. And one person in particular who will remain nameless.
Names here, don't worry.
Spent about 600 fucking euro on a lap dance as well. The most expensive lap dance ever in Trondheim. But, basically, word got round and a lot of local boys come down and all the fucking gorgeous they were, like, you know, stunners, like. So we had a crack with them, like, and just
about this.
it was messy. It was basically the local radio station come down and somebody said, that's where the whole Johnny Logan home.
Johnny Logan came from that, yeah. We're outside Gilroy's Irish Bear. Jeff Horn started singing Hold Me Now because Johnny Logan won the Eurovision in Norway.
Yeah. No way. It was actually in Brussels. I only found out later. It was in 19. It was in Brussels.
Was it?
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
That's what the edit button's for.
Jeff Horn started singing it, and then we just started singing it, like, and the local radio station came down. It was fucking madness. Like, we were just...
So people I think Johnny Logan's big over there. That would be
big in
now. So that was probably a terrible one of all these things, you know.
Absolutely.
But that night, I was sharing the room with the nap anyway, and let's just say about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, we were walking around the hotel corridors, bouncing around the fucking singing songs, and he made a beeline to try and get in the room of a female who used to be on the board, who shall remain nameless. Basically, he wanted to go in and ride her, but I don't see what happened. But anyway, the next day was fucking great crack there. The locals were a friendly bunch, very friendly. We were invited into the Trondheim, I think the local sports club.
The social club, yeah.
The social club. And like, the beer was a bit cheaper and the beer was better than that, the Irish beer. And we were about to treat like royalty. They were fucking, couldn't believe that we came all the way over.
Yeah, we were friendly and they were used to English teams and that were going over there and they caused trouble. And you used to drink beer and your sound, basically. Yeah.
So the match itself is a fucking ride off. Your balls were fucking outclassed big time. But we went up that day to the ground. They were cracking little grounds. But we sang throughout the match, but balls were fucking outclassed.
We lost 5-0 over there. We lost the home game 1-0, was it?
Yeah.
4-0.
Straight back to the airport after the match.
Straight home.
On the team with the flight, or with the team.
Yeah, I'll never forget that, though, because...
pretty depressing.
Yeah, the one thing that stuck me now, Stephen Caffey used to play with Bowles League. I've always called him, like, he's a right king of the League of Ireland. That's what I used to call him. I'll never forget it. I said, Jesus, Caffo, what's the crack? He said, I'm fucking disgusted. I said, it was a poor result. No, not that. Look at all them. The rest of the players are all laughing and joking. We just got beaten fucking 4-0. He shouldn't be laughing and joking. He says, wow, that's, you know. He was the only one. He was going mad about the match. He said, we were fucking shy. And he said, look at all these lads. You wouldn't think we got beaten 4-0 the way there. They're going on. I was there. Wow, this is fucking something else. But so we got on the flight. It was a charter flight back to Dublin, and we start drinking. And soon we just fucking slipped it. You know, the result was nearly forgotten about. Jerry Bourne. It was the funniest flight ever. Jerry Bourne was singing Barry Manilow, and everyone was just singing fucking different songs. Barry Manilow.
Coke and Kamana with the air hostess.
Yeah. We were dancing.
That was the highlight of the ship, really.
Yeah. We were fucking trying to kiss the air hostess.
It was all the rage back then.
Oh, it's a different ball game back then. But we got back to Dublin in the middle of the fucking night and just it was madness. It was a great trip. Now we're delighted I went over now, but you know, we were outclassed, but like it was a memorable fucking trip, very expensive trip.
Yeah. One of the best trips away in Europe though was the Intertoto Cup. We played FC Riga in Lee Paja in Lafayette.
What the hell's for you there, Jordan, there, right?
So we drew FC Riga in the Intertoto, and the game should have been in Riga, but we got moved to Lee Paja, which is like Galway from Dublin.
Yeah.
So it was really hard to get there. So we had to fly to Hamburg and then get a flight from Hamburg to it. So we arrived in Lee Paja, got a taxi to our hotel. So we're heading towards the hotel. See a tricolour flying outside the hotel. Jeez, that's where we're staying. Tara was for us. What's a tricolour doing flying in the hotel and leave Paja, you know? So we get into the hotel and there's Fenlon and a few committee members. All the team and the committee were staying in the same hotel as us. So it was fun and games. So fairness, Fenlon wasn't too bad. He was
back then he wasn't.
Nah.
No.
Well, there was a few stories, you know, yourself, a few things, players and rooms and all that.
Man, spit it out.
Yeah.
Don't be
naming
players.
No airs or graces. Fenlon
was in his speed. I was disgusted. banging on the door. And players hiding in toilets and fucking under the bed. Apparently, he's going on in rooms and the players were meant to have training the next day. You have training the next day, whatever. You
know, did you lose that game as well, didn't you?
We did actually, yeah.
Well, obviously, that's where we lost the group, but these two all night.
It was actually well behaved.
We didn't break our arm anyway.
No. That's where we signed Clonus after that.
That was it. This is 2008, isn't it?
Yeah, he was a standout player, so the Bowles made a bid.
That's proper Celtic Tiger stuff. Play against him, sign a player.
I'm going to show you a picture here, Bradger. There's a man lying on the ground behind one of the goals. It looks like something's had to happen to him.
It looks like one of your low points following balls, Lennon, but it looks things.
Yeah.
It's like that scene from The Simpsons, man getting hit with football. My groin.
Well, only hit me a few seconds later.
He was on his way to the toilet and he walked down on block G and Rovers fans were in the commentary side, so he decided to give them the fingers, and right in front of him Colin Hawkins is clearing the ball and decides to powerfully kick it at John's genital area. So John's knocked out basically on the ground, red face, fucking can't breathe. And there's crowds of people, are you okay and all that around them? People take it in, people So he's around, he gets brought to safety, he's just around the corner to recover. And still people going around taking pictures of him. It's painful.
How long
are
you down for, John?
What?
How long are you down on the deck?
I'm down for a good 5 minutes.
It's a fucking sore. Oh, I was... I tell you, if you get a full force kick in the football in the bollocks, you're not all about it.
Did you ever apologise, Hawkins?
No, he didn't, the cunt. Oh, no, it was just one of those things. It was fucking... It was just unfortunate that some cunt had a camera and took a photograph. I'll never live it down, but like, I can see the funny side of it, obviously. You know? I'll never live it down, though, you know? It's just one of those things, you know.
Have you got any other European memories, or will we move on to the Derry game, or do you want to do one more?
Yeah, well, I probably Ghent in 2005. That was another fucking match.
Inter Tower Cup again, eh?
Yeah, about in the Inter Tower. We went over. We stayed in Brussels the night before. Like, we went drinking, and we were fucking the Belgium lagers rode off like so. We had a good night in Brussels. We were staying in some B&B or something like that. Ghent's only a half an hour away by train from Brussels, so we went that day. And checked, we were staying in some fucking monastery place. We couldn't get, the only place you get, it was actually like a hotel, but it was run,
all the
run
Trappist
by monks,
was it?
Some run by monks it was. We were there, this is fucking surreal stuff.
They make the best gargle over there,
yeah, mad stuff.
Watching
so we were there, we found the lads were already in some bills or early doors, and all, yeah, fucking, the atmosphere was fucking great.
Be careful now, John, we've had several complaints about our language.
Well, some people said up the language.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. It's been, some people have given out about it.
You're joking.
Yeah. Four lads talking, you having a few beers. Yeah. If you want no language, go read the Bible.
Yeah, exactly. That was the mad trip. The fucking strength of the gargle in Belgium is fucking mad. So we were hammered.
That was a dream draw. Saturday afternoon in June in
Belgium.
It's a great town.
Yeah, it's
fabulous. Probably one of the best places in Belgium.
Maybe look at the Get the Brightest June ever. Yeah.
But there's always this mad stories with this. Basically, Bo's lost. No surprise there. Yeah. So that night, we were back in the town then. We got talking to a few locals and all. The man says, you guys like to go to raves? Yeah, that sounds fucking great. You know, a rave. He says, oh, you must come with me. You know, that's grand. Yeah, he says, the man says, there's Cardi, he's driving down the motorway. I swear, there's three of us in the back seat. And your man was snorting speed in the fucking driving. And I was there, that's the fucking madness this is. Your man's putting the boot down. It was over 100 miles an hour. I said, where the fuck's this cunt taking us, you know? We ended up in the middle of nowhere in this mad hard techno club, and it was a pound a pint. Your man seemed to know, but he walked in, come in with this, he started speaking in fucking French or Flemish, whatever, like, you know. And he started, oh, my friend's from Ireland, and that was a pound a pint or something like that, a euro a pint. And it was like hard techno music, and your man, everyone was off their rockers in the middle of fucking nowhere here. It was just mental. Your man kept saying to your man, if we staying here long, we must stay till 7 o'clock in the morning. What the hell?
And he was going to drive his home?
Yeah, he drove back and all. The hair was in his mouth. He was fucking horsing the speed inside him all night. We were there, my jay.
Must have been about 600 Bells fans over there. It was a great crowd.
Never seen anybody take
Terry Macedonia was walking around with his hotel address wrote on his arm, and most of it was wiped off, and he couldn't obviously, taxi drivers didn't know what he was saying. He was
showing him his elbow,
your man drove back at 7 o'clock in the morning. He drove back and he was going even faster than before. Like, where heart was in his mouth, he was literally he was going the maximum speed he can get. We were fucking shitting it, like, you know, never you go back to again, Dan. Your man, his eyes were fucking bulging, like he was out of it. Like, you know, we couldn't get away to get out of the car, we was fucking shitting it. So coming down, there's the next minute, there's a load of lads looking, Bo's lads looking worse or worse. I said, jeez, where is? Oh, we're only coming from the Brockley yard. Oh, I said, what a fucking, it's Bo's away in Europe. It's just utter fucking madness.
I can tell you right now, the pair of us sitting here fucking green with envy hearing these stories.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
We got to miss it last year, probably going to miss fucking this year as well. I mean, like, it's just, it's crushing to hear all this.
I was delighted to go to Peterhead. Because
I knew that was I think 800 kilometres to Peterhead all in 6 hours.
I was in New York for that trip and I wanted to be in fucking Peterhead. Well, I've only seen Bo's play Poxy Airdrie. I didn't know outside of Ireland that was fucking Derry.
So I went to Aberdeen, so my mate Gordon from Falkirk drove me up. So
is that your man that lives with a life size cut out of Taylor Swift?
He does.
it changes on the picture, you can put on.
Yeah, get to you. Oh, shit.
It gets even better. Wait, do you hear this one? He came to Dublin to see Taylor Swift at Crow Park.
Oh, but he bring him in?
A man in the cities.
He booked like
seats. What a fiend.
He loves Taylor Swift. She replies to her own message on our Facebook page. Oh, he's a big fan. And he got a ticket up near the front. Of Taylor
what
Swift.
What age is he again?
He's 50 odd.
I follow Taylor Swift myself, but fucking hell.
He's on Blind Date before. He's a bit of a legend, you know. But he's a Taylor Swift fan. No shame whatsoever.
Oh my God. I've seen Chippy's collection in this car.
I've been on trips with Chippy. Jesus. Chippy was usually great. Used to say he was a sister. Jesus, who do you have? Steps. You'd have Steps CDs. Shania Twain. Oh, every time I was in Chippy's car, I'd have a CD collection now, and the only one he had, the Beatles in fairness, but the only one I played at Air O when going home, British Soldiers would be getting played, you know. I was good going to Savannah somewhere, come back from. Remember, we went to Ballyball Fay one year, and the match got called off, you know, January. Chippy drove us up. Chippy doesn't drink, you know, he's just a proper football fan, you know. And so Padder was right, we were up there, and Padder was in Padder's car. Someone bumped into him in a car, a bit of a crash, in Ballymore Fay. So we're going for a drink, so we're in the pub in Ballymore Fay having a drink. Looked around, there's a Rovers picture on the wall. Fucking hell. Waiting impressed, you know. So then we hear it was a drinks were going down well, it was a fire blazing, it was grand. The match was called off. And the locals are basically all laughing at us, they're closet Rovers fans. And he's came all the way up here. We could have told us that match was called off on Monday. So yeah, fuck it. We're in Ballywell Fair, we make a night of it. Well, Chippy wants to come back because he doesn't drink. We'll drive back now, lads. We can go for drinks in town and all. I should be okay, but we'll watch the end. So I think that was the trip with the Ballywell Fair. The lads, there was a dog barking in a B&B called Sultan. So,
are you sure it wasn't just Chippy trying to get you down a bit?
So the nap's a bit of a looper, you know, and a bit loud. So the lads start calling him Sultan after the dog about your fag, but we still don't think he knows why he's called Sultan.
So look, we've had a good story, so get you on again.
That is absolutely unbelievable.
And he's massive laugh
since. He wasn't even done yet, but that is absolutely amazing.
Oh, there's plenty more.
Tell you what, guys. I'm in tears. We're not running out of time, but I'm in fucking tears. Yeah. We have to look ahead to Friday's fixture against Derry City, and I think I'll speak on behalf of all four lads here that if Rory Higgins was on fire, I wouldn't fucking piss on him.
Jesus. And
if he's on fire, please God, Stephen Gray and Garrett McGlynn are on fire with him.
Yeah.
I have to say, the biggest bunch of fucking charlatans I've ever seen play for ball.
The lads probably go into detail as to why those opinions held.
Mm. He was meant to be the best passer of all.
I believe Davin Richardson said he is a windy cunt of a centre mid.
I think he made up himself the Hollywood pass, Robbie Higgins. Meant to be able to ping a ball for fucking 60 yards straight onto a player's chest.
Part of the team.
When he played for Barrows, he was fucking brutal.
And part of the three letters from Wales we won't mention.
Yeah, part of the coup.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Unforgivable stuff from Rory Higgins.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah.
He's taking charge of Derry City. They got a win last week.
In typical fucking balls.
Typical.
We'll always get the bounce back.
We could end up fucking losing them, but you know what? After those two results that we got during the week, we're looking ahead to, you know, putting a performance similar to Rovers, we win games. Putting that performance the next 4 weeks, we get 12 points as far as I'm concerned. We're probably expecting a very big performance from Bowles. We're going to be missing James Findlay possibly, so Kieran Kelly comes into play, but you'd imagine the whole team would be the exact same. But what would your prediction be for Friday now against Derry?
2-0 Bowles.
2-0 Bowles, yeah. I'd say the same, yeah.
I'll go for 2-1 Bowles. I think we desperately need to win on Friday now. I think it's been a poor enough start of the season. I really think now it's a big, big game on Friday. We need to kick on now.
I think we need to get two wins in the bounce, not three. And what about you, Jordan? What's your prediction for Friday?
I'll go 1-0.
until we get something sorted during the summer, I can't see us scoring 3 in the games.
No, neither can I.
I don't want any club to go under, but I'd love fucking Dundalk to go tits up and then that players strong, want to leave.
Strong possibilities,
take out to get David McMillan during the summer, I really would, because
he's scored on Friday, though. He might get back in the team there and get a bit of
form. Say he hit the self-destruct button, the Yanks, and he frees up.
What's the story of Bastian Harry?
He's not fit just yet, and he rolled his ankle against in a training game. So
he's supposedly good now.
Bastian gets back and Malin gets back, I swear to God, we're going to be a different fucking team. Yeah. Honestly, I think Malin is going to be shit hot. I mean, we played Derry away last year. It was actually incidentally the last ever away game that we went on. We went to the bus up there. Bowes lost 2-0. Figueroa got the second goal, but Malin scored the first goal for Derry and he fucking tore our left hand side inside out. Unbelievable goal, great finish. This is a guy that's well rated by Sheffield United. They've got a buyback clause in his contract. He's someone that I think is going to really, really change how we play games, because at the moment we play with one winger and Wardy, to his credit, was fantastic the last game last week. Great in talent.
His invention belongs in the middle of the pitch, though.
Yeah, his invention, you kind of miss out on what Wardy gives you in the middle of the pitch. But I think when Malin gets back and when Harry's fit, we're going to look a very, very different team. And I think until then, we just kind of have to stick it out and ride it out. And when we do get these players back, I think we're going to be motoring. And I think a lot of people know that as well now. And I think we have to stay confident with that opinion. I'll say one more thing. Did anyone listen to the commentary of the Sligo versus Derry game with Joey and Doe?
No, didn't.
I'll tell you, lads, go on, have a look at that now.
What did Tush?
I fucking love Joey
and Doe.
Absolutely brilliant. There's a sequence of play with Will Patching and Romeo Parks, and Joey and Doe is just so emotional. I have to say, what did Tush? What did Tush?
He's
fucking hero. I fucking love the man.
That Keith Ward's the best player in the league.
Keith Ward is the best player in the league on his day, but. You know what?
I'm just trying to sell us a Bodge brings around for an episode.
That's it. Well, look, I have to say, very thank you to Bodge again, once again, for all
cheers,
your beers.
Cheers, for the guys. Nice few Belgium Turks.
And look, in true Bowes passion, we're playing Derry up for you. So come on, the fucking Bowes. Come on, Bowes.
Because we all follow Bowes wherever they play. We don't care if it's home or away. We are the Bowes, and we're proud of our name. So we'll all bounce around.